But I remember one day, you know, I was out for a run, and then, you know, like, you get, like, the alert on your phone that tells you you have a calendar appointment, and I realized, like, oh, crap, like, I have to be across town at a staff meeting in, like, 15 minutes.
Ryan Holiday became chief marketing officer of American Apparel and reached the peak of marketing in his early 20s. That's a remarkable feat that most of us wouldn't even accomplish within a span of an entire lifetime. But as this driven young man kept climbing the Everest of the corporate world, he realized more and more that this was not his idea of a successful life, especially since his true passion was writing and to keep working on his books.
And it occurred to me that, like, I'd done this really hard thing, which is that I'd developed myself as a writer to a level that I'd written these books that had afforded me a level of financial success. I could sort of decide what I wanted to do and live my own life. And how many people would kill to have that? And then here I was having to cut short what I wanted to do to go to a staff meeting. And no one had put a gun to my head and forced me to do this. Like, I'd climbed to the top of this mountain, and then because over here someone said, hey, we'll pay you some money to be over on this other mountain, and I thought, well, I would like to have both.
After the success of his first book, he realized that he had to make a choice.
It was a wake-up call for me, and then I realized that, like, you can't have everything. You have to know what's important to you.
I'm Niklas Jansen, co-founder of Blinkist, and this is State of Mind. Join me on discovering some of the most fascinating and accomplished people in the world. We'll explore how their amazing skills, their attitudes, their habits and victories are product of their state of mind. Like me, Ryan became a professional in the era of tech entrepreneurs and business disruptors.
I was the director of marketing at a company called American Apparel, started a marketing company that's worked with all sorts of awesome brands and public figures and done a lot of really cool, I think, provocative, interesting stuff.
He left college without graduating to become the director of marketing at American Apparel, and he was, like, absurdly young. I think he was 19. My name is Nikki Papadopoulos. I'm the editorial director at Portfolio, which is an imprint of Penguin Random House USA. And I'm also Ryan's editor for all of his books. And so he's had more experience in the business world, you know, by the time he was in his mid-20s than most people get by the time they're 40. And I think that's had a profound influence on him.
Ryan single-handedly built the marketing department of American Apparel from the ground up. Then, in 2012, he became a guru in what he himself calls media manipulation after releasing his first book, Trust Me, I'm Lying.
We are ultimately here to grow businesses. We're not here to throw fancy parties or to go to conferences or to make cool creative advertisements. We're here to grow businesses.
Being at the peak of his career at such a young age, Ryan had a very bright future in marketing. But then, Ryan started to realize he was climbing that mountain for the wrong reasons. And in doing so, he was becoming another wheel inside the corporate clockwork.
That's not what I want. That's not what I want to wake up and do every day. To me, success is freedom. If success is me doing more things that I don't want to do and me being told more and more what I can and can't do because I have, you know, employees to answer to, or I have this to manage, or I have that fire to put out, that doesn't feel like success to me. I think it's very hard to be happy if your life is back-to-back-to-back meetings. If you wake up in the morning, you walk in, and somebody has a clipboard, and they tell you, you know, here's what every minute of the next 24 hours is for you, and you have essentially no say over any of it, that does not sound like success to me. That doesn't sound particularly fun. the point is, you have to know what success looks like.
He left American Apparel to write books full-time a few years ago after we published his second book, a book called The Obstacle is the Way, which was a breakout hit. And it was clear from the success of that book that he could really have a full-time life and career writing books and talking about them.
The Obstacle is the Way was Ryan's third book. But it was the first time he wrote about a subject that he was truly passionate about. And it was a topic that couldn't be further away from media or marketing.
I read The Meditations of Marcus Aurelius, that I saw what philosophy is actually supposed to be, which is practical. It's supposed to be like used in the real world by real people. This is a recipe for living. Here are real people talking about real things in a real way, in language that me as a 19-year-old actually understands. They're not using words I've never heard of. I actually get this. It just hit me like a ton of bricks. It was just like, wow, this is exactly what I was looking for. This is a recipe for living. And then I went into writing about ancient philosophy, and those books have been, I think, to everyone's surprise, including my own, had an enormous amount of resonance with all sorts of interesting people in different niches, from the military to, you know, heads of state to professional athletes to entrepreneurs. And I think books have worked for the same reasons that the philosophy worked for me, which is like, people are trying to figure out how to live, what to do, what not to do. I don't think there's anything in any of my books that I don't personally struggle with on a daily basis. When I sit down to write about something, it's because I'm struggling with it and I need help, and I'm looking at the best sort of strategies and thinking and wisdom from other people. Ego is something I struggle with, overcoming obstacles, difficulties, just dealing with all the things that go wrong in the course of a day and not taking them personally, not getting upset by them, sort of mastering our emotions. These are all things that I struggle with.
His books have been translated into over 30 languages and read by more than 2 million people worldwide. One of the first things he ever said to me when we first met, he said, "I want to write books. That's what I want to do." And he hasn't wavered from that at all.
Becoming a writer didn't mean that Ryan would retreat and fall back into a bohemian lifestyle. He still had the same drive and hunger that turned him into a top marketing master.
Ryan is incredibly driven and holds himself to a very high standard. He never, ever misses a deadline with anything, like not page proofs or no manuscript, nothing. And that makes him very different from 99% of the authors I work with. He is relentlessly focused on writing great books. And from my point of view, that is how he should be spending his time.
Primarily why I want autonomy is because I really love writing and I really love reading. These are my sort of two loves and my two passions. And the more people are telling me to go do this or that, the less time I have to do those things that I think I'm good at, I think I have talent at. And so why am I attending meetings if that's not what I'm good at? And why am I not writing if that is what I'm good at?
After the break, we'll find out how Ryan became one of the most successful authors of recent times.
If you're enjoying this episode of State of Mind, you'll probably also enjoy Blinkist. Blinkist is an app that jumpstarts your personal learning journey. You can listen to key ideas from nonfiction books and discover new perspectives with eye-opening shows just like this one. If you'd like to try Blinkist, go to Blinkist.com/SOM to start your free 7-day trial and get 25% off a Blinkist premium membership. That's Blinkist, spelled B-L-I-N-K-I-S-T, Blinkist.com/S-O-M to get 25% off and a free 7-day trial.
Excellent.
Blinkist.com/S-O-M.
For many years, Ryan had been juggling his life as a marketing strategist while also writing his own books. But eventually he realized that he couldn't have it all.
One of the things I struggle with on a very regular basis is this idea of like, what do you say no to versus what do you say yes to? I think you can sometimes only figure out what your limitations are by saying yes to a lot of things and going, oh, like, you know, there's been times where I've done a bunch of things that I wanted to do that I thought were good. And then I realized, okay, I'm bumping up against like my outer limits here. Like it's not humanly possible for me to do all these things simultaneously, and then you gotta scale it back. It's this balance of like, how do you feel grateful for and appreciate and take advantage of all the opportunities that you have? But then how do you make sure that you're not saying yes to so many things that your work suffers, your personal life suffers? I'm constantly struggling to figure out what pitches to swing at.
Some of the best conversations we've ever had have been about being protective of time with your family and finding that space for the things that really matter in your life. And I respect a lot that he is aggressive about protecting that. He knows what's important to him, and he's not willing to compromise on it. And, you know, so many people kind of slide into saying yes to things that they don't want to do or they feel like they're obligated to do. And he's very clear about what he's about.
Fuck yes or fuck no. And that it's like, if you wouldn't say fuck yes to it, then you should say no to it. What's so insidious about it is that your mind is always telling you that there's an exception, that this thing is so important that it's definitely worth it. And so you end up constantly kind of in a battle with yourself about these things. There's little rules I like you wouldn't do it in 6 days. Don't say yes to it in 6 months. Are you going to be glad you did it 50 years from now? These are good tests. One of the rules I have for myself is like, try to do the things that only you can do, the things that you won't be replaced on. What's the thing that only you can do? What's your one thing? Like, what's the thing you were put on the planet to do? Let's make sure you're spending as much time as possible on that thing. And sort of knowing that, I think, gives us a lot of clarity and then helps make a lot of decisions for us. If I stopped writing, you know, at least a few people would be sad about that, right? I've just tried to get better at going, oh, okay, I don't need to do all these things. I need to do the thing that only I can do. Deciding where you're going to live is also really important along these same lines. A lot of people live where they think they're supposed to live, or they live where they think it's sort of sexy and cool to live or high status to live, and they don't optimize like their day-to-day habitat around being conducive to having this sort of stillness or clarity or productivity.
After having worked in LA during his marketing years, Ryan knew the impact that the loud city life has on productivity. He knew that he needed to avoid distractions if he wanted to fully focus on his writing career. And he managed to do that by moving to the beautiful countryside of Texas.
I spend most of my time, we have a small farm outside Austin, Texas, and one of the benefits of like living out in the country or spending a lot of time out in the country is that you have a really good excuse. You know, people go, oh, like, do you want to come out for coffee later? And you go, sorry, it's like a 2-hour drive for me. One of the benefits of living in Texas instead of living in Los Angeles or New York City is that I just get invited to do less stuff.
Living on a farm gave Ryan more time and freedom to write 10 books in less than 7 years.
And I think that that single-minded focus has been the reason for his success, and also the, you know, the reason why he's been able to be so prolific. He's incredibly disciplined.
A lot of people tell themselves, my work's too important, I'm too busy, I don't have room for a relationship in my life. I think for successful people and ambitious people, so much of their identity is tied up in doing and working. I mean, I think one of the reasons that someone would say, like, put in the insane amount of hours required to be a comedian or a writer or an artist is this sense that your personal worth is wrapped up in it, and that if you don't do it, if you're not good enough, you're somehow worthless.
After having been part of a noisy and hectic world, Ryan slowed down and freed himself from disturbance. Or, as he would call it, he was able to cultivate stillness.
One of the reasons we cultivate stillness is so we can see where ego is causing us pain and trouble. And the way we master our emotions, or we see the big picture, or we overcome, where we have the insights or the creativity or the breakthrough necessary to overcome some really difficult, vexing problem or obstacle, that also requires stillness. When you remove ego, you have more stillness. And then also, stillness is a wonderful way to get rid of ego. And they're all related in that sense.
For Ryan, developing stillness was to climb his own personal mountain, away from social expectations and the burden of a success-driven ego. Climbing that new mountain meant understanding that there was more to life than just becoming one of the youngest marketing executives. Like enjoying life on a farm, in the company of his family.
I think you can find that person that helps you see yourself with a little bit of objectivity, that's sort of a support system for you, that appreciates and loves you for who you are, not because of your accomplishments. And this is all essential in the sort of pursuit of stillness and happiness, ultimately.
Ryan figured out building his road to happiness involved sharing the love, complicity, and companionship of Samantha, his wife. He consciously designed a lifestyle around having the time and freedom to joyfully spend time with her. And a few years later, when they had their first child together, it was, in Ryan's own words, a life-changing experience. The last ingredient to find stillness and to discover through parenthood the simplicity of life.
When you see a defenseless two-year-old sad because you're not there, because you went to do something that you didn't really need to do, it allows you to sort of externalize the costs of this sort of disease, if you really want to call it what it is. I think the other thing that kids give you is a sense of just how simple and straightforward life actually is. Like, my son wants to go outside to play dirt. Like, that's literally what he says. Like, you buy them all these expensive toys, you want to take them to do these activities, and what he really wants to do is to play dirt. And so you just realize that so much of what we tell ourselves we need to be happy, so much of what we tell ourselves is the best or the most exciting or the coolest, this is all artifice. And that what it takes to be happy is quite simple. I didn't realize just how much sitting around there would be. An infant just falls asleep on your chest and you can't move until they wake up. Because sleep is so rare, you're definitely not gonna wake them up. And so, like, the time of your appointment is not 10 o'clock, it's whenever your kid decides to wake up. This is a powerlessness that you're not naturally used to, that doesn't occur readily, and you certainly don't choose. I think it's very humbling, it's refreshing, it teaches you how to be present, and ultimately it's quite wonderful.
Being present, enjoying the moment. This is one of Ryan's key takeaways from his experience of shifting careers, of radically changing his lifestyle to achieve freedom and stillness of mind, becoming truly grateful for what he's got.
The Buddhist would say, you know, we seek the way in what is distant when really the way is what is in close. And, you know, we travel all over the world to find these prettier and prettier sunsets or sunrises or scenes. And they're all the same. It's the same sun, no matter what angle you're looking at it from. And you can have the same sort of moment of peace and reflection anywhere you want to get it. You might have to work a little bit harder for it, but it's there. And I try to cultivate that in my life. I try to catch myself and stop and go, this is just wonderful. This moment is wonderful. This moment is enough. I don't need it to be anything more. I just need to soak it in. I just need to enjoy it.
Well, he's a really inspiring guy. And, you know, one of the pleasures of and the privileges of getting to do a job like mine is that you get to publish people like Ryan who are exceptional and who are very singular and who inspire you and go on and inspire many, many readers too.
According to Ryan, we all have that one thing we have been put on this planet to do. All we need is to slow down and focus on what is really important to us.
When we have these moments where we're out in nature, we're really doing what we know we're supposed to be doing, and there's no interruptions, and there's quiet, and it's natural, and it's peaceful, we have this sort of sense of stillness. And when that stillness comes over us, we're happy, we're grateful, we're present. And we love those moments, and yet they're so rare in our lives. And I think they're mostly rare because we make decisions that don't provide a lot of room for it. To me, those are the moments that make life worth living.
Next time on State of Mind. The wonderful story of Erika Lust, an adult filmmaker named one of the 100 most influential women of 2019.
I believe that most of the porn that's out there, that it's showing a depressing vision of human sexuality. I mean, we can do it so much better, really.
And how one person's vision has made a significant impact within the entire adult entertainment industry.
Porn can be so many things. Porn can be misogynistic and racist and horrible and disgusting. But at the same time, porn can be amazing and beautiful and fantastic and empowering. It all depends on the values that the creators have of making what they are making.
New episodes of State of Mind airing every Wednesday. State of Mind is a production of Invisible Media and Blinkist. If you like what we're doing here, please take a moment and support us by subscribing to the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. State of Mind is executive produced by Ignacio Kalek and Alexander Bartole. State of Mind is also written by Alexander. This episode was edited by Daniel Manrique. The writing was supported by Juan Ogel. Sound recording and promos by Elias Gonzalez. Music direction, sound design and mixing by Moritz Monafalvi. The State of Mind theme was composed and produced by Rafael Giner. Additional music and sound effects, courtesy of our friends at Epidemic Sound. Check them out, they have really nice stuff there. Thank you, Ryan Holiday, for taking the time to talk to us. Also, a big thank you to Ryan's editor, Niki Papadopoulos, and everyone at Penguin Random House. You gave us a great insight into Ryan's spirit and work ethic. Special thanks to Thomas Hasch, Andres Melo, Odie Constantino, Stephanie Brody, and Caitlin Schiller. Got Instagram? Follow Invisible Media for the latest news and a behind-the-scenes look at the making of the show. The handle is @TheInvisibleMedia. There's one more thing. If you haven't done it yet, you should check out Ryan's latest book, Stillness is the Key, and all his previous books. It's a great way to dive deep into the Stoics. I'm Niklas Jansen, your host, and this is State of Mind.